everyone responds differently to any news that you hear. You know, the thing is, you should not expect people to respond the same way you do to everything that's going on in the world, because it will be nonsensical to expect people to respond the same way I do to whatever it is that's going on. Because everyone, like somebody said, your head is a whirl. Everyone thinks differently. You see, we talked about Christmas not too long ago, and you know, everyone responds differently to Christmas. How they're going to celebrate it is going to be up to them. Just like we respond differently to the news that we hear. And I cannot judge you based on your response. You cannot judge me based on mine, because we're all different. And you're going to respond differently, just like people respond different to Christmas. Some people told me that just around Christmas, they went to Trader Joe's, and believe it or not, they did not even have any Christmas music. They have 80s, 90s, which is like odd, you know, because all the stores that you will go to, even secular stores, they will have Christmas music on display, and you hear that. But again, they chose not to play Christmas music last week. Everyone responds differently to Christmas. You know, we've been talking about Christmas for the last couple of weeks, and we talked about how when the angel came to Mary and announced that she would be with a baby, how did she respond? She responded with faith and obedience. She trusted whatever news the angel gave her, even when she did not quite understand all the details, even when she still did not understand how everything will unfold, but she chose to trust God and to obey. Remember what she said in Luke chapter 1, 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me just as you said. That's how Mary responded. Remember the shepherds, how they responded when the angel showed up and said, hey, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Messiah, the Lord. The shepherds had a choice to make. They said, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and check it out. So how they responded, they went to Bethlehem. They found the baby, Mary and Joseph. And after they have found it, what did they do? They worshiped Jesus and they spread out the news. Everyone responds differently. But you see, the news of Jesus, this what we talk about, the news of Christmas, did not make everyone happy. There's always a Grinch in Christmas, isn't it? And I want to tell you about him this morning. You know, I mean, everyone was showing excitement, but this king was not, he wasn't having it. He was mad that there was the announcement of a king being born. We can read about him in Matthew, you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, one through 12. And the word of God reads, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and asserted from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when he rose went before them until he came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi, your translation perhaps says Magi from the east, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem looking for a king. Now, the question that I always ask, who were these Magi or wise men? Because, you know, they showed up to Jerusalem and said, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him. You know, this past week, people were looking at the star. Some of us didn't get the chance to see that because something that happened according to science, the last time something like that happened was 800 years. But 2,000 years ago, there was something similar to that. That, you know, the star, two planets, you know, they came in the same course, and you know, one star from Earth you see, and it shone more than the other ones. So these magi or wise men were, you might call them astrologers, some translations say magicians, wizards, wise men. Now in the Bible it talks about wise men. When you read the prophet Daniel, Daniel was considered a wise man because he was able to interpret dreams during the time of the Babylonian captivity. He was one of those Jewish people that were taken captives to Babylon. So the astrologers, they studied the stars and concluded that a king had been born. Now, you and I need to understand, these Magi were not Jews. They came from the Middle East. Perhaps, I mean, if you were to look at their countries today, Pakistan, Afghanistan, that's where they came from. They came west looking because that's where the star led them to Jerusalem. So you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 through 27. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was considered one of the wise men in the Babylonian Empire and later on the Persian Empire. And so what would the wise men do? Like whenever there's a problem in the community, they would consult them. They were the scientists of that community. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and nobody could interpret. What did he do? He got all the wise men, astrologers, you know, anybody who could, you know, in other words, anybody who was smart enough to come up with an interpretation. That's why they were considered wise men. So these astrologers did the research, and they studying the stars, they concluded that a king must have been born. They did not know where exactly, but they knew that the star was leading them west. They saw the star in the east, and they headed west on a journey that perhaps, you know, we're not sure. The Bible does not tell us how long it took them to get from where they were at to Jerusalem. So Matthew is the only one who tells the story of the Magi, the wise man who came to Jerusalem seeking for a king. They knew a king must have been born. They say, we saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him. You see, from the get-go, you understand the Magi, what was their plan and purpose? They came to worship the king. This is the reason they embarked on this journey all the way from the Middle East. They said to Herod, where is the king? We have come to worship. Church, what do you come to do today here? I hope that you came to worship. So the Magi said, we have come to worship. Now, the news of that there was a king that was born did not make Herod the king happy. See, verse 3, when Herod heard this, he was troubled. Another translation would say he was disturbed. Then he moved into action. Look what he did. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ, where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Herod did the investigation. Okay, I have a news. Here's how he responded. A king must be born. Let me consult my magi. He moved into action. He investigated the matter. He called together the experts, the wise men of his kingdom, chief priests, and teachers of the law. So tell me, where is this child to be born? And they went through their books to do the research. They went and found through a prophet named Micah that had a prophecy where the Messiah king will be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. And so they quoted that right here, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Micah actually said, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So Herod is moving into action. Okay, they tell me the news. Our king is born. Where? In Bethlehem, Judea. Jerusalem and Bethlehem, that's 7 miles away. It's close. And so, look at how Herod responded. What did he do next? Look at the text. Verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. So Herod said to the Magi, hey, go search diligently for the child. When you have found him, tell me so that I too can go worship. But you know, when you read the whole chapter 2, Herod's intention was not worship. Eventually, he wanted to destroy the kid. He wanted to eliminate that king, that child. So he's lying to the Magi. Go and search and report to me. So he sent the Magi on a secret mission. Go find the child. When you have found him, bring me word. You see, how is Herod responding? He feels threatened by this news. He's threatened by the news of a king being born. He's the Grinch in the Christmas story, in case you did not notice. Everyone else is happy. Everyone else is responding positively, not Herod. There's no room in his heart for another king. His desire was not to worship, but to eliminate Jesus once and for all. Now, you know Herod is operating on behalf of Satan. John, the Revelation writer in Revelation 12, 1 through 6, I want to read that part for you. Tells you very much about Herod. Revelation 12, 1 through 6. Listen to these words. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appearing in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems as crowns. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But the child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared for by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. So even John, the Revelation writer, see this image of the Grinch of Christmas. A dragon is symbolizing Satan right here, waiting to devour this child. And who's Satan's puppet right now? Herod. The child is born, and you know, approximately, Jesus is no longer a baby. By this time, he's perhaps a toddler. Because, you know, when you look at the story, Herod sent his soldiers to kill kids younger than 2 years old. 2 years of age and under. And so many kids, you know, Jesus didn't have little, you know, friends to play around if he grew up in the neighborhood, because they were all gone. Those who were born during the time. So a lot of kids die because of the madness of a king, because he wasn't happy with Jesus being born. And just Satan all over operating, you know, and Herod's operating on his behalf. So he's threatened by that. His intention wasn't worship. His intention was to destroy the baby that was born, Jesus. So at the end of the journey, the Magi says that they were led by the star. They found, let me just read that for you. They found the house. Now notice the Magi were not part of the nativity story. Like sometimes in our tradition, we have the shepherds over here and we got the Magi all together. I like it like it is here, because we got the Magi way back here, the shepherds. So this gap in here is like approximately 2 years. They were not together. The shepherds did not meet the Magi. And Jesus, notice, the shepherds found Jesus in a manger. The Magi found Jesus in a house. And the word, it doesn't say baby, it says child, approximately a toddler. Perhaps approximately 2 years of age, Jesus, when the Magi arrived. So Herod found out approximately when the star appeared, because, you know, they're in the Middle East, traveling all the way to Jerusalem in camels, perhaps, a caravan, and more than three, perhaps. And it's going to take them a while. Especially if you led by star, you had to travel by night and all the things. So based on the text, you can tell that when they arrived, Jesus was already a child, a toddler. So look what he says. After listening to the king, verse 9, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when he rose went before them until he came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Notice Joseph was not even around there. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The end of the journey for the Magi, they finally found the child that they came to worship. They found him in a house with his mother. How did they respond? I mean, look at it. They worshipped Jesus. They presented him gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. They bowed down to the newborn king, and offered him gifts to him as an act of worship. You see, when their mission was accomplished, then they went back home. Why? Because all they wanted to do was to worship Jesus, and they found him and did exactly what they came to do, worship the king. See, the news of the Messiah king being born led these Magi to Jerusalem. They embarked on a journey because they wanted to worship Jesus. The Magi made up their minds before they even came to Jerusalem to worship him. And you and I can learn so much about the Magi because worship was on their way before they got to Jerusalem. You feel me? Worship was on their way before they got to Jerusalem. So I'm going to go there, find the king, and worship him. That's what they told the king of King Herod. We saw the star. We have come to Jerusalem. Where's the king? We want to worship him. That's where we came. And church, I ask you again, what do you come to do today? What are you doing today, watching online? I hope and pray that it is worship, because we're worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can learn a lot about the Magi. When I read their action, I want to challenge each and every one of us and pray the Lord convict us about that. Do you have worship in your mind even before you come to church? Think about that for a moment. Do you have worship in your mind even before you arrive to church? Or do you get distracted by the circumstances that surround you? I mean, sometimes, believe it or not, we all go through that. Sometimes we get distracted and we cannot worship the way that we intend to, because there might be a Grinch around telling us how we are to worship, but there might be other things that we're dealing with, and we let those things dictate how we are to worship. This Magi did not let anything distract them from their worship. You know, it's interesting. So many writers, so many authors have talked about worship, and, you know, and people have defined, what is worship? How do you worship God? You know, and sometimes, you know, I heard people in so many different places, like sometimes they say, well, I didn't worship today because the music wasn't that good. And worship for them is based on the music. And I feel sad for people that, you know, I didn't worship today because maybe I have a lot in my mind, or, you know, or the sound system did not cooperate, or because we messed up one of the songs that we did. Or maybe I didn't worship today because I have issue with a brother or sister in Christ. Or maybe you didn't say hi to me. Or you know. And so we go through all those motions. And what is worship? I mean, are we going to let that dictate how we're going to worship God? Then we're in trouble, my friends. We can learn from the Magi. Say, hey, we're going to worship. Even if the king is not happy, we're going to worship because that's what we came. You see, this is the kind of worship that God is looking at. And I love Jesus when I think about what he told the Samaritan woman, because the Samaritan woman wanted to tell Jesus, maybe you worship in Jerusalem and we worship on the mountains. I mean, some of us are going to be wrong. Who's right here? The mountains or Jerusalem? Jesus said, you don't get it, woman, because God is not seeking a place, but he's looking into your heart. The heart of worship has to be ready for God, because my friends, you and I have to come ready, just like the Magi, to worship God, because only he deserves your honor, your adoration, your worship. I mean, if you gather for church and you don't come to worship, why do we have church then? Think about that for a moment. It should always be about worshiping God, worshiping Jesus. They came to adore the Messiah, and they did. God, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, God is spirit, and his true worshipers, he's in the business of seeking worshipers. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said that God's seeking out worshipers. How will worship him? How? In spirit and truth, with sincerity and from the heart. Like, he knows if we truly worship him today. You know, we can fool ourselves, you know, but we can never fool God. He knows the intentions of our hearts. Because Jesus said it to one of the churches in Revelation, I examine the intentions of your heart. You know, and so it's like he knows when we're worshiping or not. This Magi, I mean, the challenge for me, and I hope it is also for you, that you don't let anything distract you from worship. Because it's a time for you and God. So, Lord, thank you. I want to honor you. I want to worship you. I mean, this man came miles away and found the Messiah, even when the king was trying to deceive him. Found the Messiah, and they worshiped him. They bowed down in adoration, and they also offer him gifts. In the adoration, the Magi bow down, and you know, worship is offering God something. What are you bringing to the Lord today? Matt Redman has a song. He said, I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required, because you search deep into my heart. And said, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. All about you, he said. What are you giving the Savior today? Are you giving him your time, your talent, your money, your respect, your heart? He's after your heart, most and foremost. Worship is expressed in giving, and giving that comes from your heart. We learned that about Mary of Bethany. Mary Bethany gave Jesus the most expensive perfume. Even when the disciples were questioning her acts, like, why is she doing that? And they got mad at her. She did not let that deter her from worship. And Jesus said, leave her alone, because she has done a beautiful thing. She prepared my body for burial. Mary learned what worship is. She just didn't care how much the perfume. She broke the whole thing and just gave it to Jesus. Because that came from her heart. And you know, when something comes from your heart, I cannot tell you, oh no, you did it wrong. No, it's from your heart. That's you and Jesus getting lost in worship. You and God. Nobody dictates how, but he wants it from the heart. And that's my challenge for all of us, that we learn to worship God, even in the pandemic, even in the toughest time of our lives, that we can say, I still worship you. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He learned to worship God even when he's, you know, itchy with so many boils in his body and still worshiping God, man. Because worship for those people was not based on the circumstances. It was based on the position of their heart. These Magi made up their minds way before they came to Jerusalem. They came to worship. And they offered Jesus gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They traveled with these things, and part of the worship was giving. Somebody said, you can give without loving, but when you truly love, automatically you're going to give. God demonstrated that. He loved us, and he gave. And so what are we offering God today as an act of worship? Somebody wrote a song and says, if Jesus rose from the grave, why couldn't I get up from the bed? just to go and worship God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So, what are you giving Jesus in worship today? Just the challenge that I want to leave with you. So, two different responses. Herod's response. He believed the message. He believed the Magi. There's a king being born. And he inquired. But then, how did he respond? With anger and anxiety, troubled by the news of a king being born. There wasn't room in his heart, in his palace, for another king. No room for Herod. No room in Herod's heart for Jesus. Remember, he's the Grinch of Christmas. Two responses. How about the Magi? They believed their calculations. They embarked on a journey. They came and worshiped the Messiah King, and they did not let anything distract them from worshiping Jesus. They found the house. They went looking. They didn't have a GPS. They went looking for the house, found them, and when they have worshiped, they said, our mission is accomplished. They went home. They came to adore the King of Kings, and they did not go back home until they had done such thing. They worship the one worthy of our worship. Now, how you choose to celebrate Christmas is always going to be up to you. But for me and my family, we always talk about we don't want to get so caught up in the preparations and the lies and the things that we neglect. The most important thing, a Savior was born 2,000 years ago. You know, I cannot tell you how you're going to celebrate it. I cannot tell you. That's up to you. But I know how me and my family are going to celebrate it. We know how we're going to do certain things. That's what Joshua told the people. I cannot tell you how to worship God. He says, choose today what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, he says, we will worship Yahweh. It's always going to be a choice you have to make. Have you come to adore the Savior this morning? This should always be the reason we gather as a church. This should always be the reason we come together as a body, as a community, because when the church gathers, all churches across the globe, is to honor and worship Jesus. I always say, I don't want it to do a service that Jesus is not even in our midst. Because why? What's the purpose? If he's not even going to be worshiping honor, why are we doing this? You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you see one of the churches in Revelation shut the door to Jesus. He's knocking outside. And then he said, if anybody hears my voice, I will enter in and then we have fellowship. And I said, no, Jesus has to be the center of our celebration. He has to be the center of our worship. Otherwise, I don't want to preach another sermon. I don't want to do another. Jesus had to be the one. He has to be the center of our worship. He has to be the center of your life. That's what Jesus says. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And everything else that you're going after will be given to you as well. But again, I'm saying that, and that's how it'll be for me. I cannot do that for you, my brothers. But I gotta say, Jesus had to be the center of my message. He has to be the center of my celebration. He had to be the center in my family. Because I owe him everything to him, and I just want to worship him. Giving him back what he has given to me. With my talents and abilities, everything, even my strength, whatever I have, I gotta give it back to him. Because he can take it, he can take those things away any moment. If we're not using them, you know what I mean? And so it's like, Jesus, you know what I mean? I wanna continue doing what you have asked us to do. I'm gonna continue serving you because we wanna honor you, we wanna worship you. Now, is your worship of God circumstantial? Or have you learned to worship Jesus even when the Grinch tries to stop you? I hope that you and I can learn to worship Jesus no matter what happens to our life, no matter what's going on in your life right now. And many of us going through storms, you know. But even there, you can still learn to worship Jesus because he's the one allowing you to go through that storm, by the way. Maybe for a season, maybe for a time. And eventually, he can get you out. And eventually, you can just, if he doesn't get you out, you can say like Job or like Paul. Paul said, yeah, the trials that I go through cannot even compare to the glory that is to be revealed. And he learned to worship Jesus even through the circumstances. When he says, I learned what is to be content, whether I'm clothed or whether I'm naked, whether I have food or whether I'm hungry. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And my friends, I hope that you and I learn to worship God no matter what's going on in your life. Because worship is an attitude that comes from getting to know Jesus. The more that you get to know the Lord, the more that you're going to worship him, and the more that you understand that nothing will stop your worship of him. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we give you honor and glory.